Penguin Random House Audio presents Clay Walls by Kim Ran-young. Introduction by David S. Cho. Read for you by Soo-jin Kim, Amy Park, and Greg Chun. For my mother and father and their compatriots.
Introduction. Like so many times in life, the dream of this book has been a long, winding, and arduous journey. Given its subject, could it be any other way? It has traveled the world and worlds to be in your hands, reflecting the multi-layered contexts of Korean America, as told by Kim Ran-young, a Korean-American woman, in her novel, Clay Walls. In many ways, this version you have before you is one of the most unlikely sets of journeys to have been captured, then and now. The novel, Clay Walls. Clay Walls is a truly pioneering work. Though works by Korean immigrants and those born and raised in America, like Kim Ran-young, were written before Clay Walls, Young-il Kang's and Richard Kim's books, for example, Kim's novel is unique not only in being the first to be written by a Korean-American woman, but also in exploring the intergenerational Korean-American women's experience both here in the United States and abroad in Korea. This is important not just historically, but also aesthetically. Its narrative form ties together issues of racism in America, pan-racial and pan-ethnic references, LA Black and Japanese-American communities respectively, to name a few, colonization, Japan's colonization of Korea, 1910 to 1945, issues of class in Korea and America, and Korean-American life across urban and rural locales in the United States. Clay Walls was published at the time of a multicultural publishing scene in the 1980s, published in 1987 by the Permanent Press. An era marked by a pattern of publishing more nonfiction versus fiction by Asian Americans and written by Kim Ran-young, a self-taught creative writer who, despite illness, saw the publication of her novel before passing away from cancer. The near impossibility of Clay Walls being written is implied by the protagonist Hye-soo's daughter, Faye, who shares in part 3, "I'm not a real bookworm. It's just a way for me to see how other people live. I haven't found a book yet written about the people I know." With this novel, Kim Ran-young sought to fill that void. The novel is divided into 3 parts and named after Hye-soo, her husband Chun, and their daughter Faye. The continuous chapters that run across the 3 parts model the interconnectedness and the differences between the generations, genders, and culturally located spaces of each character within the spectrum of Korean America, though the characters and the narrators of each part are at seemingly insurmountable odds with one another. Part 1 begins with Hye-soo, a yangban, originally part of the aristocratic, educated class of Koreans, cleaning a toilet in Los Angeles, accosted by her employer, who criticizes her for missing a spot. Hye-soo reveals she is married to Chun, whom she refers to as a sangnom, a person from the uneducated working class, and that they immigrated to the United States in 1920. Besides the novel noting that hardly anyone in the United States knew where Korea was or knew Koreans as a people distinct from those from Japan, China, or the Philippines, the year 1920 signifies the March 1, 1919, Declaration of Korean Independence from Japan and its aftermath. First read in Seoul, this historic statement sparked a national movement with more than 1,500 demonstrations and 2 million participants. Japanese authorities warned that participation in the movement would result in severe punishment. More than 7,000 Koreans were killed, 15,000 wounded, and 46,000 arrested. This dangerous national instability provides both the context and the foreshadowing of the difficulties in their own marriage, both in Korea and America. Though belonging to differing traditional Korean class levels, this cultural structure is unseated by the growing international influences of Japan and America, leading to a quickly arranged marriage with an international twist and their arduous journey to America. Once in Los Angeles, issues of nationality, race, class, and gender, along with the stress of raising 3 young children while navigating life as newcomers, test Hye-soo, her marriage, and the family to their limits and beyond. Her marital union and abuses are symbolized by Korea's own unity and well-being, suffering under colonial abuses, one country threatening to become two independent entities with the ever-increasing influence of foreign countries, along with their racialized reception in America. Yet even through and because of these contexts, Jesus still hopes to return home someday to a land of clay-walled homes. Part two is told through the lens of Jesus' husband. Chun is mistaken for someone involved in the Korean independence movement and receives help from an American missionary to marry Jesus and leave Korea for the United States. The novel addresses culturally arranged marriages and who has the privilege of arranging them, the work of missionaries, the transnational interactions of Korea, Japan, and America, and the intersections of all these phenomena. Unlike Jesus, and given his farming and working-class experiences, Chun takes on menial labor in Los Angeles, saving enough money to buy a growing produce business. Tragically, his gambling habits also grow with the demise of his business after losing U.S. military contracts for his produce. In America, Chun's life, his combative marriage to Jesus, and strained family dynamics are contextualized by the many historic layers globally and in the United States. Their own differences of gender and social structures, as Chun roams from job to job, place to place, California to Nevada, are caught in a perpetual cycle of overwhelming social forces too large to overcome, as Jesus and the growing children attempt at all costs to forge a better way forward on their own. Part three is told from the viewpoint of Faye, the sole daughter of the family. Here, the novel explores her friendship with other Korean Americans and their collective dating scene, but also within the context of her African American and Japanese American peers. Her exploration and growth mirror those of her mother, as Jesus now sews neckties to keep the family afloat. Noting the difficulties of second-generation Korean Americans, Jesus says, "It's hard to be Korean living in the United States, especially for you children. For me, it's not so hard. I know I'm 100% Korean." To which Faye states, "Love swelled in my heart for Mama." Bringing to the fore questions of these characters, home, and the accompanying emotions, particularly for Faye. The sense of Korean nationalism remains strong, ironically fueling their arduous assimilation into the United States and their pursuit of the American dream, through hard work, sacrifice, and dutifulness, all for one's children, expecting them to do the same. The ideas of homeland and home are part of Jesus' inner hope of returning to Korea on land they had bought. Jesus states, "My land in Kwaksan is gone," to which Faye explains, "Kwaksan was gone and there was no money to show for it. The land was Mama's only holding in her homeland, and it had been taken away from her. Her only holding in the world. She had hung on to Kwaksan as long as she could. I wanted to cry." Thus, the dream of returning home is no longer possible, as they are in Los Angeles presenting the question of the constructions of one's cultural identity, particularly one's national identity. Faye continues, "Gosh, Mama, being 100% Korean isn't easy." Rather than capitulate to the common assumption that all Korean immigrants and Korean Americans perceive Korea to be one's home, or America for that matter, Claywalls serves to fully contextualize and validate one's sense of home and homeland, and the possibility of multiple homes and homelands, cohered through a singular national identity, a transnational Korean-American identity, clearing and affirming a space that neither yields to one's foreignness or the expectations of full American assimilation. Such is the dilemma of the place and space of the Korean-American experience. The author, Gloria Han, a.k.a. Kim Ran-young. Clay Walls has been written about as a landmark novel regarding both its content, Korean immigration to America, and the growth of U.S.-born or raised children of Korean descent, and its social dimensions here in the United States and in the larger global geopolitical climate of the era, with Japan's colonization of Korea. Past reviews focus on the sociological dimensions of the book rather than on its narrative aesthetic. Very little has been written about Kim Ran-young, the author of Clay Walls, and the Kim family. Ironically, this absence models the very content of and motivation for Kim's book, to ensure that this generation of Korean America would not be lost in the annals of art, history, and culture. common
Sample complete. Ready to continue?